The Christmas holiday got underway in a hurry. And sometimes they didn't even wait till Friday. They just started on Thursday night. And I know that Christmas for many people isn't a very important holiday of the year. And I don't know what it means to you, but for some it's a very special occasion. It's a time of in which they see this as something that would really bring Jesus Christ back into their lives and so on. Whatever you do, however you take this particular holiday, I hope that as a child of God that you seize the moment to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, our existence is nothing more than an existence. And so we're thankful that He came into our world. But if Jesus came to your house, what would you do? How would you respond to that? You're sitting there watching TV, or maybe you're just kind of going about your everyday kind of thing, and suddenly a knock on the door, and you go to the door, and there's Jesus standing there. Well, I thought about that. I thought, I wonder what I would do. And I concluded that I don't know what I would do. I really have no idea how I would respond to Him standing at my door. I would like to think that I would do something great, but I'm not so naive as to think that I would, and probably be just as like everybody else, totally at a loss. Jesus came to a house unannounced. It's the same house where Lazarus lived, John 11, John 12. The city of Bethany is just a little village. It's not a city, it's just a village. It's about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and it's located on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. It's on the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Mary and Martha are here. Martha, it's her house apparently, and Mary is her sister. And Martha gets involved in making preparations for a meal. At least she knew what to do when Jesus came. I may not, but she did. And so she starts fixing a meal and what have you. I want you to remember that when you read the text, you're looking backwards. But for them, they're living it. I don't know what all Mary knew or Martha knew about Jesus. I have no idea. But trust me, I think her theology was pretty limited, just as it was for all the rest of them. And so Martha is busy not only making preparations, but she's going to serve and this sort of thing. And Mary is at Jesus' feet. The interesting thing about Mary is she's mentioned 3 times in the Scriptures. And in all 3 times, she's at the feet of Jesus. And Martha gets upset. Mary is sitting there listening to Jesus talk, and Martha gets upset, and she goes to the Lord and says, "Hey, do you mind? I got some things that have got to be done here, and you know, I'm doing all the work. It would really be helpful if you'd tell Mary to get in here and give me a hand with it. Remember, she's living the history. You're reading it backward. You say, well, I never would have spoke to Jesus that way. Well, she would. Because she has no idea about all of the things that you know about Jesus, you see. And so there she is, you know, with Jesus and letting him know that she's unhappy because he's not doing what he should be doing. And that's getting Mary over here. And Jesus says, oh, Martha, Martha, you worry about things. And you're worried about things that really don't matter. Does that sound like you? Now, be honest. I mean, you don't owe me. This is not a test. I'm not going to pick up the pieces of paper and see what your list was or anything like that. But be honest with you. Does that sound like you? Oh, Martha, Martha, you're so worried about things that just don't matter. Now, Mary, she's concerned about something that really does matter. And there's only one thing that matters, and Mary knows what it is. Did you happen to catch what it is that Mary is concerned about? One thing. Jesus Christ. That is what Mary is concerned about. And that's why he would tell Martha that she has got the good thing here. And he's very commendable of Mary because Mary is seeking to know Jesus in a very unique and personal way. And that's what the crux of this text is all about. It's about Mary being the example for you and me to understand that there's only one thing that's really important in life, and that is, how well do you know Jesus Christ? And are you seeking Him? What do we learn about seeking Jesus? We need to seek Jesus' person. Unfortunately, Jesus has become an object of belief. Or maybe even an object of scorn. This was clear in the New Testament. As you read your Bible, you see this happening all the time. Even His close followers could not grasp who Jesus was. And I'm not certain that we do much better than that. But the only way we will seek Jesus with the amount of success is if we delve into who He is. Not what He is, but who He is. He is a person to be embraced, not an object to be believed. I'm not going to sell you on Jesus. I want you to grasp who Jesus is. And I got to be honest with you, I don't have the words to do that. You're going to have to do that on your own. And it must be a very personal search. Listen, you cannot find Jesus in religion. That's not going to happen. You can be as religious as you could possibly be, and I can promise you, you can never come to know Jesus Christ through religion. Nor will you come to know Jesus Christ through church. There's people that have gone to church for decades and still have not a clue as to who Jesus is, because He's become an object for us to believe rather than a person to embrace. And there's a big difference in that. There was a woman that I happen to know in the community here. And she was telling me that she was leaving her church and she was going to go to Bandon to a church down there. And I thought that was really odd because she was leaving what I was considered a pretty good church. And I didn't understand why she was leaving this church. And I said, so why are you leaving that church? She says, I have got to know who Jesus is. And you're going to find Him at Bandon? If you can't find Him in the church that you're going to now, you're not going to find Him at Bandon either. And I'll submit to you, you'll never find him in the church that you're going to. You'll never find him wherever it is you're looking for him if what you're looking for or who you're looking for is the person Jesus Christ, because Jesus is not the church, he's not religion, he is a person that you need to become acquainted with. And once you get acquainted with who Jesus is, your life will be revolutionized. And so I want to suggest that you go into your private moments. A place where you could shut out the world. You could kind of just hang up all the news that's been going on that you don't want to hear anything about anyway. Stuff that just really has been plaguing you. And maybe even things about work. Maybe things about your family. Just where you and God alone can be in communication. Where you could be honest with God. And you could lay before Him your concerns and He can lay before you His concerns. Where you could just shut out everything and just commune with God. Let me suggest you go in your readings of Scripture. That where you can find Jesus Christ. God gave us His Word so we would know more about Jesus. We become, quite often, and quite frankly, we're very shallow in some of this stuff that we get involved in here. I'm reminded of the woman who came and spoke in our class 2-3 years ago, Jacob Wilson. A survivor of the bombing of Japan, the atomic bomb. How that she didn't know who Jesus was. And she married Paul, and they came to the United States, and they were walking the streets of San Francisco, I believe. And she ran across the nativity scene in the store, and she said, "So that's where you came from. Not a clue as to who Jesus was. But she knew she wanted to get to know Him." She got herself a Japanese Bible and she began to pore through the Scriptures. In fact, as she had told us later, she said, "I spent so much time reading my Bible to learn about Jesus that I didn't do my housework. And I had to hurry up and get going because I knew Paul was coming home." So she would spend the whole day reading her Bible to learn who Jesus was. We sometimes just get too satisfied with stuff. And I get frustrated. Several years ago when I was up in Colville, someone used to use the acronym PTL. PTL. You know, PTL this, PTL that. I thought, what in the world is PTL? Well, PTL was an acronym for Praise the Lord. Can you believe that? Why we relegated God to a PTL. And just recently, we're starting to wear wristbands that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? Is that what we're going to do with the Lord? Is we've got Him narrowed down now to an acronym that was just so easy for us to remember? Give me a break, folks. I think God deserves better than that. I know Jesus deserves better than that. That we don't relegate Him to some simple little saying. He's too complicated for that. And we need to have a better understanding of it. We have a little clue as to how Jesus would respond to a particular situation. So this WWJD stuff, you know, if you can wear one, if you feel good about that, that's fine. If not, cut it off and throw it away. And read your Bible and you'll find out what Jesus would do. You want to know Christ? Read your Bible. In our daily worship, Your private moments can be a time of worship, as I mentioned just earlier. Our daily worship of prayer, meditation, reading, even singing of hymns and reading of hymns, bring us into contact with Jesus Christ. Public worship is important, but public worship cannot replace your private worship. I grew up not knowing a thing about private worship. We didn't do that. You see, we were a part of a system, not a part of a life-breathing Messiah, Savior Jesus Christ. And in our public worship, you know, we all came in here this morning. Everybody was visiting and talking and so on and so forth. And we finally got settled into our seats. Okay, we began our worship. No, we began our worship long before then. But do you realize who's sitting next to you? I'm not talking about your husband. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Sitting next to you. He's the focal point of our worship. He is who we worship. Why don't we partake of the Lord's Supper just as we got through doing? And in that worship, reflecting back, not just on the death of Jesus Christ, but also on His life. And when we sing our hymns, robust singing and what have you, there's a place for all kinds of hymns. But in our singing, it's worship to Jesus Christ. And in our quiet moments of prayer, a time in which we elevate all of our concerns before the God of heaven. But let me also say that it is not uncommon, in fact, it is most common, that it is in worship that God places something on your heart. God communicates with you personally, individually. Let us seek Him through His teachings as well. Page 431 of your psalm book. Bob, you can put that up there. This hymn is not a Lord's Supper hymn, by the way. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me. As thou didst break the bread beside the sea. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 48, I am the bread of life. What Jesus is talking about, or what the songwriter is talking about here, is that Jesus is breaking forth His own person, His Word. The bread of life is the teachings of Jesus Christ. Break thou the bread of life. Let me know. Let me feed on that bread of life. And when we do, we find Jesus had a heart of compassion. People came to Jesus because He was compassionate. And people who follow Jesus are to exercise a heart of compassion, caring about people. Not compassion as defined by the world. The world defines compassion with another word. It's called enabling. That's not compassion. Jesus' definition of compassion is lifting people up. Give them hope and encouragement, identity, strength, and helping them to see themselves as a creation of God. But Jesus was intolerant of spiritual abuse. We're familiar with verbal and physical abuse, but spiritual abuse is that which destroys one's walk with the Lord. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. When he talked about the little child, he said, anyone who causes this child to stumble, it is better for them that a millstone be hung about their neck and they've been thrown into the depths of the sea. And so we want to avoid hardships, placing undue hardships on others, wielding some perceived power in an abusive manner, or becoming insensitive to others' plights. That's not the way Jesus was. And Jesus always welcomed a humble seeker. We may have suspicion about Nicodemus coming at night and what have you, but Jesus accepted Nicodemus and his inquiry. And even the lawyer in the previous text that Jesus treated very kindly. You know, you can never go wrong imitating Jesus' life and actions. That's always right. You never go wrong on that. But let us also seek Him experientially. Mary was focused on Jesus. And you look at the words of this song again. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Notice the words, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. The songwriter says, I don't want to be limited to just what you'll find in the Scriptures. I want to experience Jesus. I want to so experience Jesus that I can, that I'm not limited to just what I read, but how I live it and how He impacts my life. So beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. I want to know everything about You. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, I want to know Christ. And he's looking beyond the sacred page when he says that. I want to know Christ. And in verses 7 and 8 of that text, he says, I want to free myself from all the distractions that keep me from knowing Jesus Christ. Martha, so caught up with preparation, she was missing out on one of the most greatest treasures in the world. Standing before her was God Himself. And what is she doing? She's all wrapped up in trying to figure out what in the world am I going to feed Him. Don't you know who's standing there, Martha? Yeah? Are you sure you know who's standing there? Well, yeah? No, Martha, you probably don't. There was a lady once that was down there in Hollywood, and she was wanting to get pictures of all of these famous people coming out of this place. You know, they were filming and what have you. And so all of these people were coming. She was focusing on everybody, you know, with her camera and all of that and everything. Pretty soon this guy steps up in front of her, and he takes his hat off, and she looks, and she said, get out of the way, get out of the way. I'm trying to get my picture taken here. So he steps aside. She was taking pictures of a bunch of extras, and it was Steven Spielberg that stepped between them. Get out of the way, I don't want you. You know, I'm convinced that God makes appearances at times, in times when we don't understand. We're not ready for it. We're not thinking in that kind of time. Have you ever saw somebody who needed some help? And you didn't respond to it, only later regretted that you didn't respond. You say to yourself, why didn't I do something about that? Why didn't I help that guy? Remember the Hebrew writer who talked about people entertaining angels unaware? Would you recognize an angel if that angel came up to your house, or you passed them on the street, or you saw them at a restaurant needing a meal? would you recognize the angel? Probably not. You know, I've admonished the class back there to get your eyes open. Be watching for a miracle. Oh, let me add to that. Get your eyes open. Be watching for an angel unaware. Because one may appear and you not realize it. And let us embrace the righteousness that's found in Christ. Paul wants nothing to do with self-righteousness based on his ability to obey or keeping the law. He says, I want to know Christ, and I want to know His righteousness. Too often we ask, are you going to heaven? And we answer in the affirmative. Well, how do you know? How do you know you're going to heaven? Well, because I've done this, I've done that, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It doesn't cut it, folks. You go to heaven on the basis of one thing. I need to change that. You see, I've been saying it so long, it just... You're going to heaven on the basis of one person. That's Jesus Christ. And Him alone. Not on the basis of what you do. Not on the basis of anything as to who you are. But on Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, I've done away with that. I want to know Christ and His righteousness. And I'm going to press on. We need to press on. He said that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. Reaching forward. Keep reaching forward. And pressing on towards the goal for which Christ has took hold of us. Are you a Martha or are you a Mary? You know, we're all probably got a little bit of both. Let me say, I don't want to minimize Martha because, you know, there's room in the kingdom for the Marthas and the Marys. But don't be a Martha to the exclusion of being a Mary. All right? Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you obeyed Him? Have you put your trust in Him? Have you been baptized into Christ? The opportunity is yours. And then you begin your journey of knowing Christ Jesus, your Lord. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you always stand and sing?